Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And that's going to happen right now. You're going to get smarter, even as we speak, because our good friend Kirk Chaffetz is with us. Kirk is the author of Thinking Inside the Box, 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business, in which he has his own very successful business, which we're going to get him to tell us about just in just a few minutes. And so let's get him in here. He's our good friend Kirk Chaffetz. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. Now tell the audience the name of your company.
The name is Story Worldwide.
Story Worldwide. And it's all about post-advertising, isn't it?
It is. We call ourselves the world's first post-advertising agency.
Right. Tell the audience what that means.
Well, it's a really good question, Jim. I think that the entire world of marketing and advertising has been upset and disarranged by the advent of not just the internet, but the entire notion that consumers, audiences, people, you and me, are now in control of the things that we see and hear and pay attention to.
It's the democratization and the incrementalization of information.
It is, and it's the personalization of information as well. It's that I can set my own media agenda, that given the advent of TiVo and digital video recorders on, you know, cable stations, and given the advent of pop-up blockers and laws like do not call and limitations on email and reinforcement of our rights to privacy, all of that stuff has made it more and more difficult to stuff advertising messages down our throats that we really have no interest in, and that difficult is getting now verging on impossible.
And are there people pulling their hair out right now, aren't there?
Well, I think, yeah, the chief marketing officers of America, to a great extent, are pulling their hair out. And one of their problems is we spend collectively, it's a hard number to pin down, but something in the neighborhood of $300 billion a year in this country alone on advertising. And, 70% of it goes to television advertising.
Right.
And the...
It's becoming more and more fragmented.
Well, it's becoming more fragmented, and frankly, all of the data that's available that makes any sense says that the huge, vast majority of that money spent on TV is wasted. People walk away from the screen, don't pay any attention, it's not relevant to them, it's stupidly executed, and it's ignored. And in fact, it may be more than ignored. It may be hated. It may be doing your brand real harm at great cost.
And the next thing you know, you read about it on some blog about people dissing your ad on a blog somewhere, and everybody in the world starts talking about it.
Exactly. And the blog usually has a cute name like yourcompanysucks.com.
Yeah. So let me throw something out here. I was at a conference recently on small business marketing, and I spent a few days hearing people talking about how to market to small business owners, and there's a lot of statistics and a lot of research and everything, and it was really a good conference. I learned a lot while I was there about me,
right.
about me and you, Kirk, but after a couple of days, I was troubled. I noticed that I was feeling this anxiety and this trouble, had this trouble feeling for a couple of days, and all of a sudden I realized what I got some relief when I realized why I was troubled. All I was hearing about was marketing, and what I realized is that for small business owners, yeah, you got to market to them. They need to know you're out there, but once they know you're there, you got to stop marketing and you got to start connecting. You
got to
start making a connection, and that's what you guys do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, what we try to do is provide the depth of engagement. You know, we talk about good brands that want to market, especially marketing to small business, but we think that everybody has to have what we call a high IQ, and it's a scoring method we use.
Right.
But the important thing is that the I stands for impact, and that's one-tenth of the problem, and the Q stands for quality of engagement, and that's what advertising doesn't do.
Right, exactly. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. More to come, more good stuff with our good friend Kirk Chaffetz. He and I will be right back. He's the president of Story Worldwide. Welcome back. It's 17:10. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and rocking and rolling, having more fun than the law will allow. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your business. Thank you for allowing me to be here and talk to you and introduce you to these smart people, our Brain Trust members, like our good friend Kirk Chaffetz, president of Story Worldwide and author of Thinking Inside the Box. I'm just sitting here, Kirk, and you know how this is. You've got your own business. You know your business is like a teenager. You know, one day you love them, next day you want to pinch their heads off. But still, it's just the coolest thing in the world, isn't it? Being able to execute on your business model.
It is. I mean, it's hard to describe, but I know everybody in your audience knows the feeling of accomplishing something that you set out to accomplish, or
yep.
even just getting one step closer to accomplishing something that you set out to accomplish.
Absolutely.
It is a terrific feeling.
Absolutely. So okay, we're talking about marketing and connecting, and that's a big deal. I think this is something maybe that small business owners and this is what I've been trying to teach them, Kirk, since I've been doing what I'm doing, because as I've grown my business, the way I've grown it is by learning how to work with big companies like you do. I mean, you've got a medium-sized company, an enterprise-level company, with offices around the world, but still, your customers are people who are 1,000 times bigger than you are.
Right.
And so what I've learned is how to integrate with those guys, how to become one of their partner. And those people are looking for people our size, and I'm a lot smaller than you are, but they're looking for people our size to come in and help them solve problems, aren't they?
It's absolutely true, because companies their size are too slow moving to help them. Generally speaking, and they're always on the lookout for small to mid-sized specialists who can serve particular needs. And in our case, they're looking for creativity and strategy, and they're looking for it fast.
Because big companies, and I don't mean this, folks, big companies, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, because I love you, but the truth is, big companies are where creativity goes to die.
Absolutely, and it has to do with the decision-making process, not with the brilliance of the people inside the company
or their intentions. It's just the weight of the organization suppresses it, doesn't it?
It does, and there's also a very interesting phenomenon that I've run across and done some studying called the expert problem, which is that companies that know a lot. That expertise, that sense that you know what you need to know, is the absolute enemy of innovation. And it's almost that the more expert you are, the less you're going to create new things. And
so,
it sounds like a puzzle, but
so
it
the
works that way.
The purpose of Kirk and I talking about this, ladies and gentlemen, is to help you explain there's where your opportunity is. We're not saying that there's no creativity in the big companies. We're just saying that they're looking for fresh ideas and people who will execute those ideas, and they're not looking for those solutions from other big companies. They're looking for it from small companies.
It's absolutely true. We're a small business. We still qualify as a small business, and most of our customers are billion-dollar-plus enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And actually, the bigger they are, it seems sometimes the more valued we are.
Yeah. But you know, one thing I think is important to point out, Kirk, is that even though the people you may be dealing with and calling on in these big companies work for multi-billion-dollar companies, the truth is their budgets may be smaller than your company.
Absolutely. Microsoft is actually a great example because it is one of those chaotic enterprises, and it's on my mind since Bill Gates is departing officially today.
Yep. Uh-huh.
But Microsoft is thousands of small businesses where a particular person is in charge of getting a particular niche product to be a success. And they run them almost like a series of small businesses. Ballmer's been trying to make it more like an enterprise lately, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's had tremendous success.
I agree. Well, I want to talk about your growth strategy and some of the steps you've taken. I told the audience before you got here, Kirk, that you're playing in a sandbox, that a bigger sandbox that some of us would like to get to. There are some people in my audience, a lot of small business owners are you know, they're where they are. They got 8 or 10 people, and they'd like to get to the point. How many employees you got? 100, 150?
250 now.
250. Yeah. Okay, you've really grown a lot since the last time I asked you. So, but that's, as you say, that's still a small business. But they'd like to get to that point. They want to scale their business. But what I want you to help them with is to make sure that when they get there, number one, that they can learn some of the things you've learned, but also maybe hearing you decide, you know what, I've now decided I don't want to go to that size.
Right. As you and I have said to each other in the past, this could be less fun than it appears to be on certain days. Our business plan when we started this company 3 years ago, and the origins of story are really 12 years old, and myself and my partners are a bunch of entrepreneurs who have started companies, sold them together to bigger organizations, bought them back from the bigger organizations after we almost died as part mm-hmm. of billion-dollar corporations. But the basic business plan was always to grow in two ways, organically, by winning clients and also by acquisition, by raising capital,
and you've done both of those. You've executed on both of those models, haven't you?
We have.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and let Kirk continue with this right after these messages. Good stuff here, folks. You may not get this anywhere else. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. You can get there. We'll let you come in and use our stuff. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest, the author of Thinking Inside the Box, the president of Story Worldwide. Give us that website, Kirk.
Storyworldwide.com.
All right, so check it out. It's a cool website, folks. We're developing a new website, folks. As you know, same URL, but we're completely redesigning our website that you'll be seeing before too long. And we've been stealing some of Kirk's stuff, folks. So some of his ideas. So I promise you, go check it out. You'll enjoy the going there, and maybe even you want to do some business with him, Kirk. We're talking about your sandbox. We're talking about where you are right now. 250 employees, offices in, what, 4, 5, 6 cities around the world?
Yes.
And you're hiring people. You got an international business. But mostly, a lot of your day is spent making sure that the company has enough juice, enough capital to keep it going. Talk to us about that challenge.
Well, hey, unfortunately, there's a couple of horrible things about growth. One of them is if you if you raise outside capital, then you have partners who you maybe didn't have the previous week. And we can talk about that at some point. The other one is, of course, growing eats cash like nobody's business.
And that's that. What you just said is probably the main reason why businesses fail, isn't it? Because they don't realize they can succeed themselves out of business.
Absolutely. But every time you grow $1 million in revenue in a typical business, you're going to need at least $300,000 in additional capital in order to survive that growth, because you're going to have to hire people. Your receivables are going to grow. The money that people owe you is going to grow, and you're going to have to figure out how to finance that until they pay you. And you're going to need more capital investment. You're going to need another 20 computers for the 20
people
you had to hire.
And all these people you just hired are going to come up with these great ideas for things that you know will help you, but they cost money.
Absolutely. And then, Lord forbid, you're going to need more space. You're either going to have to build a building or lease more space. We're trying to lease a building in London right now to combine two offices. We've got 9,000 square feet. We need 15.
I bet that's fun, negotiating a lease in London.
I've had better times, Jim.
I bet.
and the worst part of it is, you know that by the time you put down the deposit on the building and everything else, and you buy the furniture, and you know it's going to cost you $1.5 million to move. And if you don't move, you can't hire the people to do the extra business too. So I don't mean to complain. These are very high class problems.
No, these are real things. But you know, Kirk, one thing I want to point out, you said that growth eats cash, but actually what I think you just described is it, because when it eats cash, that you're making the presumption that's nourishing the business to some degree. But it eats some of the cash and it sets fire to the rest of it.
But, absolutely.
Because it sets fire, the cash that it sets fire to is the stuff that's just you just have to spend to get where you want to go. It doesn't necessarily nourish the company. It's the mistakes you make. It's the deposits and all those kinds of things.
Well, exactly. I mean, what you hope is that you manage it well, and at the end of the day, you have at least, your accountant can claim that you made more money. You may have zero cash in the bank, but your profits grew and the value of the enterprise grew, and fortunately we are in precisely that position. But you can easily succeed yourself out of business if you don't have adequate capital, and I mean really easily, especially in this climate where you thought you were living in one world, and then oil goes to $150 a barrel, the housing market collapses, and you can't borrow money to save your life.
Yeah, and you realize that other people's problems have become your problems. Kirk, there's my last question, because I've got about 30 seconds. Would you do it all over again?
Absolutely.
Yeah. With all the whining you've heard him for today, folks, he's having fun. I saw him we saw each other in New York a month or so ago, and I could tell he was having his challenges, but he was having fun. Kirk, thanks for sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly with us.
Well, thank you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Same.
Kirk Chafis, ladies and gentlemen, a great American and president of Story Worldwide. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.